Blog Talk Radio.
Rebellious slave. So when black people stand up out of pain and suffering and frustration, I understand after 500 years. When white folks can't defeat you, you came, they'll always find some Negro, some boot-licking, butt-licking, buck-dancing, bamboozle, half-baked, half-fried, sissified, punkified, pasteurized, homogenized nigger that they can trot out in front of you.
He identified himself with his master more than his master identified with himself. And if you came to the house, Negro, and said, "Let's run away, let's escape, let's separate," that house Negro would look at you and say, "Man, you crazy. What you mean separate? Where is there a better house than this? Where can I wear better clothes than this? Where can I eat better food than this?" That was that house Negro. In those days, he was called a house nigger. And that's what we call him today, because we still got some house niggers running around here.
Yeah. Once again, welcome to Third Eye Vision. I'm your host, the Untamed Blogger. How's everybody doing this evening, this cold, freezing night, February night? I hope everybody feeling fine. What's up? I'd like to give a shout out to all my followers, my wifey, my family, everybody that's been following the show from day one. Thank you for supporting the show and coming out, continuously supporting the show, going to the blog, supporting the blog. It's greatly appreciated. I'm happy that people still following the Third Eye Vision. You know, the movement is for real. So all the haters, what's up? To the Mad Blog, I'd like to say what up. You know, he's doing different things right now. He caught up. He'll be back soon. Shout outs to the Mad Blogger. Shout outs to, you know, everybody out there that's been going hard, like I said. Today's show is definitely about something that's not really talked about in the black community. Things that it's really not talked about. They talk about it on the news here and there, but it's a very, very, very strong problem in our communities and just around the world globally. You know, that's the organ harvesting trade. It's big. It generates a lot of capital, and people don't understand that a lot of these things going on in our communities play a part in this trade. Black-on-black crime, regular car accidents, different things when you sign over that right of giving away your personal organs. And it might not be something that's important to you right now, but when you die, you might say, okay, it don't matter. But if they're taking your organs and selling your organs when you die and generating money off your organs, I mean, tell me how that is good. How is it good? I mean, I would think that it would be better if you just had a will or something. You wrote in your will, donate my organs to my family. They give it to whoever they feel needed or whatever. Not just signing some piece of paper when you get your driver's license to go along with, you know, what goes on in the norm, and sign away your organs. All right. When you die, you go to the coroner. The coroner owns your body for that time, and your family can't do anything until the coroner releases your body. By the time they release your body, they release it to the, you know, to the mortician. The mortician do what he do to the body. Boom, your funeral, put the body in the ground. Not too many people focus on what happens during the course of them embalming the body. It's real. It's something you need to think about. So, you know, also we're going to get into different stories of things that's going on right now out here where, you know, people are definitely coming up missing, body, missing, murders. Y'all probably heard of Kendrick Johnson of Georgia. He was found inside of a rolled up mat in his high school. His body was upside down, which had been placed upright behind the bleachers. His internal organs were missing, and the cavities were filled with newspaper. His death was ruled an accident. So 24-year-old Ryan Singleton of Atlanta, he made the news. That was just recently. His body was discovered in a desert at Death Valley by joggers. All his organs were missing. And these two stories kind of led to, you know, people talk about it. Some say it's a conspiracy theory, but it's true that there's a black market for black organs. Also, Dick Gregory said in an interview, the Undertaker that dealt with Kendrick Johnson is the same Undertaker from Miami that was used to deal with Trayvon Martin. Now, you mean to tell me, as close as Atlanta is, you're going to call a black Undertaker away from Florida? Now, Gregory said also that he always felt there was something fishy about the Trayvon Martin case. When have you seen a homicide with emphasis on what was purchased? That's because he never went to that store. He believes Martin organs was harvested. The biggest money maker in the country is organs, he said. All right, so now people, the modern day body snatchers, you know, they provide bones, tendons, body parts, other transplantable organs to tissue banks, research facilities, and other buyers. They get paid $600 for a brain, as much as $850 for an elbow, and up to $850 for a hand. So according to analysis of the marketplace for fresh or frozen body parts used for research and education that was conducted by Annie Chaney, the author of Body Brokers, Inside America's Underground Trade in Human Remains, Henrietta Lacks, she was an African woman who went to Johns Hopkins Hospital in 1951 because of a painful knot in her stomach and abnormal bleeding after giving birth to her fifth child. She was diagnosed with cancer, and two parts of her cervix were removed, the healthy part and the cancerous part. Without her permission, the doctor discovered Lacks' cells kept alive and grew. Her cells were named Gila, and for over six decades, they have been used more than 74,000 studies. Now, Gila was the first human cells to be successfully cloned. Now, the conspiracy theory of blacks being murdered for organs is now being linked to the string of murders that happened in Atlanta during the late 1970s and early 1980s. It was known as the Atlanta Child Murders. 28 young victims who was mostly African-American males were murdered from 1979 to 1981. You know, the man arrested was Wayne Williams. He was arrested on June 21st, 1981 for the deaths of two 22-year-old victims. He was indicted on first-degree murder and sentenced to life in prison. At 53 years old, Williams still maintains his innocence. Some believed he was forced into confessing at the time. And also, in 2006, USA Today wrote an article about the trafficking of illegal harvested body parts and tissue from the dead. At the time of the article, more than 16,000 families had been represented in lawsuits claiming that their loved ones' body parts had been stolen. In 2008, a former New Jersey dentist named Michael Mastrino was sentenced to 18 to 54 years in prison after he made millions from selling human organs and tissues. According to the reports, he secretly robbed thousands of corpses from funeral homes in New York, New Jersey, and Philadelphia. He never screened the parts of disease, and he doctored paperwork to change the age and the cause of death. And he died from bone and brain cancer in July. So it's real out here, people. Understand this, that you're not focusing on these things going on in our communities. And basically people disappearing. I mean, if you look around, missing people, it's happening everywhere. I don't have statistics on how many missing people are missing a day, but it has to be high. And I mean, where are they going? Think about it. Now, a New York man admitted to brokering black market sales of human kidneys to three Americans, becoming the first person convicted in the U.S. of organ trafficking. His name was Levi Ishkak Rosenbaum, 60. He was 60 years old. He pleaded guilty to three counts of organ trafficking and one count of conspiracy in federal court in Trenton, New Jersey. He said three ailing people in New Jersey paid him a total of $410,000 to arrange the sale of kidneys from healthy donors, and undercover FBI agents paid him $10,000. It's crazy. Now, in 1984, U.S. law banned the sales of human organs. In court, Rosenbaum admitted that from 2006 to 2009, he recruited Israeli donors, arranged them to travel to the U.S. and their lodging, and set up blood tests to match them with recipients. He told another undercover FBI agent that he had arranged quite a lot of transplants, according to the complaint. He said he's never had a failure. He told the agent in 2008 conversation that he has never had a failure, meaning that everybody he then stole from was a perfect match. So it's real because it's going on around the world. Because you ask yourself in Bangladesh, how much do they buy a kidney for? The average quoted price is $1,500. It started more than 10 years before, and the kidney price was higher, and it has gradually dropped. After donation, post-transplantation, the poor Bengali people received different amounts. In one case, a 23-year-old Bengali boy received $600. He was promised $1,600 or $1,700. So, I mean, it's a cruel game. I mean, you go to these third world countries where they don't have no money, and you offer them money. I mean, and they're starving. What do you think they're going to do? I mean, they're not going to sit there and say, I'm going to be hungry. You have to understand what's going on. Now, the typical donor's age is around between 25 to 28. Annual home income between $480. Mostly men. All right, and now, what they sell them at in Israel, okay, the average age the person that's recipient of it is 48 years old. All right? It's real, people. It's out here. And the reality of it is that the glossy scenario where the person is dying and it's dog-eat-dog because you're dying and you don't care if you kill somebody to stay alive. All right? And that's the sad thing about it. And reality, trafficking organs is a crime that occurs in all over the world in three broad categories. And you have to think about it. Organs that are commonly traded are kidneys and livers. All right, so, you know, it's real. It's real, people. You have to understand that the victims formally agree to sell organs and most of the time they're getting cheated because they're not paid for the organ or they're paid less than they promised. All right, so, and these are only vulnerable people, you know, and homeless people, illiterate people, the lowest people, you know, that don't have anything and they need to eat. All right. Excuse me, people, a little technical difficulty. So that's what's going on. And you really have to understand that people are being paid, the starving people, hungry people are being paid to sell, to give up their organs. So, you know, your kidneys, you could just give a kidney away and still live with one kidney. So if you're offering them, you know, maybe $1,700, and then you don't pay them till after the process, come on, you can give them anything. You took the kidney out. And these people don't have any nods of saying, pay me first. They're not business-oriented. These are people that are starving, that live in shacks, that live in wooden homes, boxed-in homes. So it's real. And people, I like to tell you, you know, it's time to wake up and understand that everything in what you, like I always say, everything in always what you, what it seems. All right? So, take it back on the subject. Like I said, in 1984, the law, the National Organ Transplant Act of 1984, bans the sale of human organs. Yet the first person ever convicted of organ trafficking in the U.S. only occurred in 2011. As reported in Bloomberg News, at that time, Levi Rosenbaum pleaded guilty to the three counts of organ trafficking. All right, so they paid three people in New Jersey They paid him about $410,000, as I stated. And it's crazy. It's crazy. So imagine how many other people out there doing the same thing. All right, doing the same exact thing. And it's sad because what can you do? Because this is happening underground. All right, you cannot, you know, it's sad. All right, and to proceed on, Clayton Lockett, 38. He died in a botched execution, if y'all remember that, in April 2014, April 29th, when the execution. His body was released to his lawyers for autopsy, minus some of his organs. The Guardian reported that Lockett groaned and attempted to speak during execution on the 29th of April. He died 43 minutes after the execution began, or what corrections director Robert Patton said appeared to be a massive heart attack. A private doctor conducted an autopsy on behalf of the lawyers, but the heart and larynx were missing, said David Autry, the attorney for Lockett. Now, before we discuss more recent deaths of other black men and boys whose organs were stolen, let us consider that Trayvon Martin's organs were also missing. All right? And it's sad because this is what's going on. Our young black men are dying, and they're harvesting their organs. Ryan Singleton, Kendrick Johnson. It's sad because this is what's going on. You have Jason Smith. It's real. For those that don't know, Jason Smith was from Air Force, Louisiana, on June 6, 2011. They say he drowned and his organs were stolen. And not have much has been written. People until they haven't been talking about the story at all. So it's a lot. Okay, so all the organs was removed. And they stole Jason's lungs, so it made it impossible to prove that he didn't drown. And it's sad. You had Larry Neal. People, you have to really think. And it's really going on out here. It's going on. These things are really affecting us. And you wonder why the music and all these things. And I can't basically say the music and entertainment, but I mean, they use that as the smokescreen when things happen to the young black men, as far as aggression, as far as the what they do. It's sad, people. It's sad. So, and the reason why I did this show is to bring up to give you this awareness. All right. One more story is Gregory Johnson. He was killed November 2008 with the San Jose University. He was the only black person living in that, going to that school. And they proclaimed that Gregory Hummus hung himself. But he was a promising student who planned a career in sports medicine and was over 6 feet tall, yet he supposedly hanged himself in the basement where the ceiling was only 6 feet high. He had no marks on his neck to indicate hanging, no bulging, no bloodshot eyes, or any other indication that he hung. What Gregory did have was a large gash in the back of his head where brain matter was oozing out. His unmarked neck was broken so badly that his head nearly fell off in his mother's lap when she tried to cradle his body after authorities finally released his remains. He was murdered after President Obama had been elected president, but before he took office in January. Tempers were high during this time period as racists was not pleased to have a black president. Gregory had dated a Caucasian young white girl who was a fellow student. She assumes that law enforcement and the medical examiner lied to protect the wealthy, well-connected student who killed her son. She did not know to check for missing organs when it happened. All right. And sad. Right? It's sad. And how do we control this business? It really cannot be. It can't be controlled. What are we supposed to do to basically inform people? Because the news is not going to tell it. Because the news are probably part of the Zionist. Probably they are part of the Zionist regime. Most of these organs are people down with the Zionist regime. The people that need these organs are part of the movement, so part of the establishment. So it's going to be hard. You can catch the small man, but you'll never catch the big man. You can catch 13 traffickers, but you're not going to catch the man who's actually funding the traffickers. But, ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to say once again, please stay aware to this subject. Check the blog, stories on the blog, read about this. And I'd like to say thank you for coming out again to another show. It's greatly appreciated to check me out. Definitely at www.thirdeyevision.com. We are the past. We are the present. We are the future. And once again, I'd like to give a shout-out to my wifey, who's been my number one supporter since day one. Love you, baby. So all my followers, I love y'all too, but I just don't love y'all as much as I love my wifey, all right? So peace, love, and prosperity. You know how we do. We out.
I believe that the liberation and salvation of the black nation must be brought about by black people gaining a thorough knowledge of self after our 500 to 6,000 year Holocaust, where we have lost over 600 million. And so I believe that that education process must be a process of two steps, inspiration and information. So I seriously give information, but black people are people of rhythm and spirit, so I also give inspiration.
I feel like black people should develop themselves, you know, not to struggle them, just develop themselves as any prejudice thing. It's just that we are people with our own history and culture, we can educate ourselves. I mean, we are the first creators, so we have to really, everything we see that this earth that black man makes it. And I'm saying that the white man don't make harm. All wisdom comes from the black man.